You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello everyone, this is Youssef. In today's episode of Palestine Remembered, we will share with you some recordings from one of the previous visits of Robert Martin to occupied Palestine, I think in 2017. The first one, a tour guide from Hebron, Baha. Second one, a hairdresser, Saadi, from Jerusalem. The third one is an activist in Beit Umar village near Hebron, Yunis Arar. Stay with me and enjoy the episode. Baha is talking about Kiryat Arba settlement near Hebron.
For producing the most outspoken racist Israelis, people who believe literally that they are on a mission from God to cleanse Hebron from its non-Jewish scum. So what you would see in the city of Hebron is not something that Israelis are doing with shame. No, we are very proud of turning Hebron into a ghost town for the Palestinians. But it's all done within the largest Jewish settlement in Hebron, which is Kiryat Arba. Now, on this road, many Palestinians were murdered as they were driving around here. You know, like you are driving your car, you see an Israeli soldier, you just try to avoid or like, you know, it has an impact on you. They open fire for suspicious of maybe wanting to run them over. Like on this road, many, many Palestinian drivers were murdered on this road. Thank God our driver is not suspicious. The red roofs. Yeah. You pay $300 a month for about 10 years and the house will be yours. It's a mortgage that is sponsored by the... Yeah. So because you only pay for the concrete, you only use for the construction material. Like now if you want to build a house, 90% of the expense of the house is in the real estate, in the land, right? And then 10% of the expense is the construction material. So here the state of Israel makes the land available by stealing it from Palestinian communities. And then the settler pays for the construction material. And the government makes profit because $300 over a period of 10 years is probably double the amount of money you pay for the construction material.
Do they provide you with jobs?
They provide them with subsidies.
Like a pension.
We'll talk about that. We'll just have a conversation about that. Now, if you are a smart person, you can end up making money out of being a settler.
Yeah.
Literally, because like the subsidies are in every aspect of your life. The city of Hebron is divided into two areas of administration. Hebron 1 or H1, and that's a reference to 80% of the city. It's uptown Hebron is the newer city, is where the majority of the Palestinians in the city are living today. H1 is more like Area A. That's where you find Palestinian police in uniform in the streets of H1. Hebron 2 or H2 is primarily the area where we are visiting, is the old city, and it's more like Area C. It's under direct Israeli government control, government and military. Yeah. The reason for that was, okay, we have to cut Hebron into areas of the administration in order to find a resolution. And the resolution is, from Palestinian point of view, the resolution was to find a solution for what's going on. From an Israeli point of view, it's like to cut the old city out of the rest of the city. Now Israelis say, like, we only have 20% of Hebron. Like, you know, we are not taking over the whole area. We only have 20% of the city. But it's the old city where every local family from Hebron is originally from. And it's the old town. You can't say, like, I only want to take 5% of Rome, which is like the old part of Rome. You know, because Rome will become meaningless without that 5% of the city, right? So the city of Hebron is literally meaningless without its roots, without its old parts. But the Israelis said, like, we only took 20% of the city. And the Arabs are, or the Palestinians are greedy because they want 100%. I'm like, no, I don't want 100%. I want my house. That's it.
So this has been Baha from Al-Khalil Hebron talking on a bus with a group of solidarity activists visiting occupied Palestine, including Robert, back in 2017, speaking about the reality of being in Al-Khalil. Next is another recording that Robert prepared, and an interview with Saadi, a barber in Al-Quds.
I'm sitting here with Saadi, who is the hairdresser and the barber in Jerusalem. And he was just telling me about certain things. And I got goosebumps because it's a typical thing that I hear. Just tell me about your nephew and tell me about what you were saying just before, and then we'll talk about the house demolition.
Okay. Hi. My name is Saleh. I am 45 years old. I'm Palestinian. I'm born here. My father, my grandfather, my whole family was born here. We're born here. So, really, I met Mr. Robert. So, and I'm happy that I met him. And we had discussions, and we talk about the life, how it goes with the Palestinian and the Israeli here, and what the Palestinians are suffering from, and if it is truth or it's not truth, you know. I think everyone can see that, and everyone can decide it, if it is, if the Palestinians are suffering or not. So I have many stories which is happening for me, for my brothers, for my father even, which is passed away 3 years ago, with my nephew, with my kids even, you know, everywhere. The kind of our suffering, what we are suffering, you know, here we don't have kind, you don't have hope. There is no hope. There is no hope, especially when you are responsible for a family. You don't see anything rising for the future, for good future for them, which is push me sometimes to think to leave the country, not to stay here anymore. The land which I love, the land which I hope to die and to bury there. So this is something that I can't, I don't know how to explain my feeling. So one of the stories that I want to tell you, that I had my nephew, his name is Hazim.
He's a very handsome man, and there's a picture in the salon, and I'll post a picture about him.
Yeah, which is had been killed by the Israeli police. In the beginning, they say a lot of things. In the past, they say it was by mistake. After they arrest him and they handcuff.
Behind his back?
Behind his back, yeah, that's right. And they shoot him without any, you know, reason even. Someone that he are not put you in danger, or his hand behind his back, so why are you shooting him? Is he a human being? Or because he's a Palestinian, so they are not deserve to live. This.
What happened with the soldiers?
So the soldier, nothing. It was it's like in the end they say it by mistake.
They just actually said by mistake?
Yeah. And they said you should stay at home for 5 days. It's kind of arrest,
home arrest.
So, and that's it. And I don't know, this happened everywhere. Is that right? It is good? This is the human rights we are talking about. or we are not a human. So it's very important to know what we are. This guy, he was working with me in my salon. I teach him. I put him in the, in the right way. And I had dreams what to do for him. And I think about his future. He was like my son. He's not only my nephew. He's also, taking him as a son. So, and suddenly, there is no more Hazim. Hazim. So he was 21 years old. That was 7 years ago. Exactly, it was in 2010, and 14 of September. So.
And we're very close to the old city, which you can't go to now. And you've also got a house that's going to be a shop that's going to be taken.
Yeah, about the property which we have for my father. So the Israeli or the settlers in these days, they are planning to take our property. They meaning it is belong to them, or they put their hands on it, and khalas. So even, there is no law here. No one can say stop what you are doing. So. And in the end, they are talking that about the Palestinian. If they are say no, or they, maybe they will be a tourist. So we have to shut up. So where is the word from this? So please.
You had a house demolished?
Yeah.
Just tell me about the house that was demolished.
We have problem here, especially in Jerusalem. They don't want the Palestinian to increase more and more to build and to stay in the old in around Jerusalem. So if you have land, you are not allowed to build. And in our tradition, as my father did to me, and I have to do to my kids or to my children. He support me when I decided to build a house, and so it's going like that. But I remember it was 12 years ago, my father, he built the house, and suddenly, he was in the procedure, so he built the first step. So even they didn't send us anything from the court to stop that. Just they came and they demolished it. And I remember when the Israeli police came, he told me, hey, listen, what you are doing here? I told him, what I'm doing? What you are doing here? This is my land. He told me, no, it is Israel. It's for Israel. I told him, no, you are wrong. This land is for this area is for my grandfather. So, and they arrest me because I hit him in the face when he said, move from here, go from here.
From your own land.
Exactly.
Where you were building a house.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it's Israel's.
Yeah. This is what happened.
So you slapped him?
Yeah, I slapped him, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think anyone can understand.
I stepped in because you feel that you have no rights to stay here. You are nothing. You are even, a shadow is something. There is, you can say shadow. We are less than shadow as a Palestinian. So I don't know till when this will stay and will continue. So I'm asking the world to be honest. To be honest with themselves.
Because you and I were just talking about that. And it's not being pro-Palestinian or anti-Israel. It's just about telling the truth of what's going on.
Yeah.
That's all it is, because it's blatant to see.
Yeah, that's right.
You see it.
But in these days, I think, really I blame everyone, because we have multimedia, we have TVs, everyone know what's going around, out, in, We are not in that age which we don't know what's going outside. Of our home or house or country. So there's a news everywhere. So what I'm asking, that to be human beings, We can't. We are talking about tourists. We are talking about a lot of growing wings, which is killing here and there and there and there. We have to ask ourselves how we can stop that. Who support them? Who create them? So, in the end, I don't know. I will leave this answer for you.
It's colonialism.
It is.
100% in my eyes. It is to you as well.
Yeah.
Because the whole system's geared to be anti-Palestinian.
Yeah.
And not just here, not just Hebron.
Yeah.
But all of the areas around, because they want the place without.
They start this program in the old city of Hebron. If you are talking about, you know, colonialism of the old city, even in Jerusalem. In these days, the people who have their own shops, they even can't survive. In these days, I don't know about the future. I'm sure they're going to lift their shops and will find something to find out how they can live, how they can, because the Israeli have plans since long time to make it empty. And they don't want more Palestine. And if you go to the old city, you will see. And you can ask, you know, don't depend on my talk. Go and meet and ask. And I'm sure that you will hear what I'm telling, if not more. So really, we are in big trouble with this Israeli tourist government, which they are not respecting, you know, even themselves. If they used to respect, so they will respect the other. But I'm sure they don't know, maybe they don't know how to respect. They didn't study how to do that. And I'm sorry. But it can't stay like this. And I'm again saying, you know, there's a big powers can change the situation for better. And in the end, we are not talking about any kind. We are talking about human beings. We have to find a way how we can live together, how to respect each other, how we can go on in our future, how we can encourage each other. So not in this way, as you know, there's nothing established here. It is the Holy Land. It is the Holy Land, which we just hear it is the Holy Land, but what's going on here, it is something horrible. I'm sorry to say that, but this is the truth.
I was going to ask, because I've heard, and you tell me if you say this too, I've heard that the shops down here in the old city, the Jewish people have said to everybody, don't buy off the Palestinians, because I've also heard it off another farm. So they're almost boycotting the shops so they can't make anything, make a living. Have you heard this?
I remember 7 years ago, more. No, I left 10 years ago. I used to work as a bus driver for a tourist. And I work with many people from different countries. And what I'm saying that especially the people who are coming, the Jewish, who are coming from different countries from outside to discover this country, and what the other way, and what the tour leaders or the guides, tour guides, they used to tell them, that a lot of things which is bad. They didn't say anything good against the Palestinian or the Palestinian. Even, you know, they didn't name them as human beings. Or maybe there is good or bad people. All the time they were saying that the Palestinian are bad people. This is one of the things which is I used to work with those people as a Palestinian, and I used to hear all this.
Yeah.
So, what to say? But about what you said, about they are pushing the people not to buy from the Palestinian, that's right. And they push them to buy from the Jewish quarter. You know, because it's the old city, it's four quarters, the Muslim, Christian, Armenian, and Jewish. And they said a lot of things. That means the old city, depending on the people who are coming from outside, that means the tourists. If the tourists are coming to the old city, so they will buy from this and that guy, he will come to my shop and I will go to the other shops. You know, it's going like this circular. So this is one of the things, yeah? they are forcing the Palestinian, and this is very clear. They don't want more Palestinians. They don't want Arab to survive here. They don't want. I don't know.
They came.
You know the history. Everyone knows the history. I didn't create the history. Even you didn't do that. But the, it's clear. So, and in the end, you know, as a Palestinian, when they are to talk about the peace process, we suffered a lot. But we check hands with them. Even they let us to leave our countries, our villages, and you know, the refugees everywhere. The people today, they left their houses to Syria, to Lebanon, to Jordan, everywhere. Until now, I don't know. I blame, you know, I'm saying, you know, I'm blaming the world about this.
They're complicit.
So, how you can sit with people in any, you know, in any occasion with people that they let the other to suffer? How can you respect them? Especially, I'm saying, the United States. Especially, again, I say, United States, you have to change if your strategy. Because what you are doing, it's not good, it's not right. Don't do what the British did for the Palestinian. Don't do what the British did for the Palestinian. Please, act as human beings. I don't think there is anything more pure or more than to be as a human being.
Well, I find the Palestinians, myself, pure. And I find them beautiful people. And the one thing that hurts me, and it must hurt you, the one thing that hurts me is how the world portrays the Palestinians. Because they portray them as people that don't want peace instead of the other. But this is the most welcoming area ever. The Palestinians are magnificent people. So people should come here, and they should come and get a haircut from you and their beards trimmed, because it is magnificent. So people should come.
What did you say now? You know, when I started to work as a hairdresser, I remember that it was in 1992. And we were depend on, you know, the villages which is around Jerusalem. We are talking about, you know, the city like Ramallah, Aram, Abu Dis, Al-Azari, which is now there is walls separate Jerusalem from this, yeah. So it was, it's like the heart, you know, and the blood which is reaching to this heart. So we are the heart in these days, but there is no blood reaching to this heart. So they are planning, you know, to kill us in a slowly way. So, and this is the one of their plans. I mean, the incubation. I don't know since when the incubation is a good thing. We have to say stop. We have to say enough. You have to do that. You who are hearing me, you have to say enough. That's it. That's it. The Palestinians deserve to live. We deserve to live. We deserve to dream. We deserve to think about our future and our kids. So this is what I can say.
This is Saadi, a hairdresser in Al-Quds, Jerusalem, interviewed by Robert in 2017. The last interview by Robert from the same trip was with Yunus Arar from Beit Umar village to the south of Hebron. Yunus and Robert.
I'm just with Yunus Ara, and I was asking a question in relation to, do the people in Tel Aviv know what's going on? And he said, not really. And I asked, but they all serve in the IDF. Now, Yunus was arrested many, many times. Tell me what happened when they came as civilians, the witnesses, so they were in uniform, and yeah. What happened?
Yeah, they were not in uniform when they were called to witness against me in the court, and they were so different. I mean, the time they arrested me, they were very harsh, they were very violent, they even beat me. And I was arrested in 2012, and I was called to court in 2015, so 3 years. and the soldiers were out of service, and they came in civilian dress, but they were so down, man. They were so different. And whenever I look into one's eyes, they just put down their eyes down. They don't look me into the eyes. And they are very, it's like they were never soldiers.
Wow.
They were never soldiers, and they act just like, you know, normal citizens, but they were desperate. They were it's very obvious they were not happy about their life. I mean, normal life. Yeah. I'm not talking about the army, about their normal life.
So it is like they're two humans within the one human. So they're with their soldiers, with their guns, they're tough. And they go home and they're unhappy.
They are unhappy about, I don't know what problems they are facing in their life, but it appeared to me very clear during court sessions that they were so unhappy.
But they contradicted themselves? And so you got found innocent?
Yes.
What happened with the judge?
Yeah, I was found innocent because all the testimonies have contradicted. And all my statements throughout the sessions, they were the same. And the judge was furious. She's an extreme judge, and she was furious, and she said it just like that. She said, you are unfortunately found innocent because their testimonies have contradicted. If it was for me, I will keep you in jail because you were very rude. That's to me.
Very rude on the day.
Yeah,
you were arrested
the court sessions, and when I was arrested, so she wanted to keep me, but because she cannot, their testimonies, as I said, contradicted very much against
me. Lying.
And of course they are lying. So I was found innocent, and guess what? I have paid a bail at that time, 2,500 shekels, and they are supposed to give me back my money. Until now,
still haven't got it.
I did not get my money, and they should, because she made a note that my money should be given back to me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thanks, Yunus.
No problem, man.
Yunus Arar from Beit Umar village near Jerusalem. We've listened to three interviews by Robert on his trip to Palestine. With this, we've come to the end of this week's episode of Palestine Remembered.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.